Good afternoon, everyone. Might make a start. So today we've got Stephen Gervin here from EY, and he's going to talk to us about the future of claims management. So Stephen is a director at the EY Actuarial Practice, and he's been there for more than 15 years. He has extensive experience in a wide range of technical, operational, and strategic roles for a variety of clients. His expertise is in claims and underwriting, and he has recently participated in an EY Global Steering Committee investigating the future of claims operations. This presentation, I think, was also prepared by Melissa Yan, but I've been told that she couldn't make it today. So please welcome Stephen.
Yeah, apologies, my colleague couldn't be here today, so you've just got me. Okay, so at the intro, we talked about the recent global study that was conducted by EY into the future of claims management. We interviewed a number of executive and analysts, fintechs and insurtechs across the US, North America, Europe and Australia. And the responses that we got through those discussions were non-surprising. I guess what did surprise us a little bit was the extent to which we now believe that some of these external drivers and insurtech responses, how much they might contribute to the future of claims management. So I'm going to get started with a video. Apologies if it sounds a little bit like an ad. I've cut the advert bits out of it, but
2016, EY commissioned research to validate our perspectives on the future of claims operations in 2025. We interviewed a range of industry stakeholders, including senior executives at 20-plus insurers around the world, industry analysts, and select fintech leaders. This is what they described. Few industries are changing as fast as insurance, and claims operations face profound impacts. Disruptions are everywhere. Driverless cars and trucks and driver assistance technologies will dramatically reduce the number of accidents, continuing a long-term trend. More consumers and businesses will want to engage through digital channels. Sensors in homes will help limit the damage of fire, flood, and theft. Sensors have already and will continue to provide similar protections for businesses. Changing weather patterns will lead to more severe and often more localized events, leading to sudden spikes in claim volumes. So claims operations must be able to scale up to meet these peak demands. Indeed, these many disruptions mean claims will soon be playing a different game. Policyholders, individuals, and businesses will submit claims and check status directly through digital channels or straight from their smartphones. Much of the process will be automated. Automated systems, including robotic software, will handle many simple claims. Human intervention will be necessary for complex claims or where customers explicitly want it. Therefore, tomorrow's operations will look different. There will be significantly fewer workers overall, but they will be doing a broader range of higher value work and focusing on complex claims. There will be a premium on analytical skills as data availability and volumes expand dramatically. Strong leadership and communication skills will be necessary to manage a distributed set of suppliers and capabilities. As proactive loss prevention and fraud protection become more important, insurers must rethink their value propositions. With real-time data availability, the claims process will become more efficient, from notification to validation to resolution. But it also means insurers must protect customer data against cyber threats. Claims handlers will have more tools at their disposal than ever before. Social media data in real time and artificial intelligence to help determine the best course of action. There will be better claims data and greater claims knowledge, which will be managed more effectively. Insurers will be able to share advanced information about weather events and tips for healthier and safer living. Claims will focus on the right things at every point in the value chain. So how do you begin the transformation? Defining the right long-term vision for your business and the role claims play in it is the critical first step. Then you must assess current customer needs in relation to claims and whether you have the capabilities and tools to meet them. It's also necessary to address people and teams to ensure claims have the right skills and can work more intelligently and productively. In devising the right operating model for tomorrow, you will need to invest in the right capabilities in the right sequence. This is the way to define and successfully execute a strategic claims agenda.
So there's a number of strong thematics that are coming out of that presentation. I've captured some of those thematics here on this slide, and I'm going to talk through them at a very high level, and then I'm going to talk about, well, how does an organisation address these thematics primarily through a customer-led program. This is primarily focusing on short tail, and on short tail, a customer-led program is probably more appropriate than, say, something like a purpose-led transformation program. So first of all, the theme around decreasing claim volumes, it is expected that there will be decreasing claim volumes. I suppose in recent times we haven't really seen that in Australia in motor or in home. This could be due to a number of factors. Australia tends to be a late adopter of some technologies. Telematics is a good example, although is a fairly high adopter around sensors. And it could also be offset by increased urbanisation. The fact is that we do see more severe weather patterns. Technology can help us detect these weather patterns, and social media can help us to track these weather patterns. Because of this more severe weather patterns, what we do need is to have the claims operation have demand surge capability. So what that means is in high volume situations, the claims department is going to have to manage its supply chain more effectively, and it's also going to have to implement good quality assurance around its first line and second line. Sensor revolution, we are sort of at the dawn of that. It has the capability of transforming claims handling services. It also, of course, has the ability to impact around product design and pricing. But what it really does is it connects with the customer. But because it connects with the customer and because it collects data in such a efficient and effective manner, what it does do is also present some challenges. And those challenges are around accountability. Customers want to ensure that there is good accountability around the collection of their data and that that accountability is auditable. And also customers want to have the ability to control that data. They want to have the ability to opt out. So on the one hand, we're at the start of the sensor revolution. It's very effective around claims management. It connects very well with customers. There are some challenges around the use of the data. We continue to be in a cost pressure environment. A study that we conducted earlier this year indicates that claims management functions account for around about 37% of headcount. On a cost basis, that's a bit lower. IT on a business as usual tends to be the highest cost base. But clearly, as a function within an insurer, claims represent the largest of the functional areas. And claims management operations will need to respond to this because of the factors that we've identified. Headcount will reduce significantly. Now, the traditional grounds of cost reduction are under threat, and yet the drivers are increasing. Drivers around increased regulation around claims management, product commoditization, new entrants. But the traditional grounds around cost reduction are not going to be as effective going forward. So the new battleground is going to be around things like robotic process automation. I'll talk about that in a minute. Initiatives like blockchain. It's yet to be known how blockchain will work within a claims operation, but there's some fair certainty that it will have some relevance going forward. So robotic process automation is fairly new. The insurers have really only invested in this technology in the last 2 years. The technology has the opportunity of reducing cycle times depending on whether it's personal or commercial, by between 40% and 80%. And where it's most effective is in high volume, high frequency, low skilled tasks. A couple of statistics there from an Accenture technology survey. 35% of insurers have better than 15% in cost savings in the last 2 years. Remembering it's only been in the last 2 years that the investment in the insurance industry has occurred in robotic automation. 82% plan to invest in robotic automation, and 75% are currently investing in it. In terms of, this is still on robotic process automation, in terms of where it can make a big impact, it can certainly minimise human error. So what I was talking about earlier about needing to ensure that quality assurance in the first and second line is not compromised in situations such as high volume, high claims volumes, our robotic process automation is very effective in reducing human error. And it's, I've already mentioned this, but it's very effective in reducing cycle times. It's not effective in strategy, so it's consistent with the theme that RPA is going to reduce operational process times, but it's not going to replace high-skilled functions. Customer expectations, so they vary obviously considerably depending on whether we're talking about millennials or whether we're talking about baby boomers, but basically customers are demanding an omni-channel experience. They are demanding higher degrees of self-service and higher degrees of customer experience. InsurTech. So InsurTech is one of the big drivers. It clearly lags behind fintech. Studies suggest that the investment in fintech since 2010 is in the order of $50 billion. Compare that to InsurTech. The peak around of investment in InsurTech was around about 2015. The amount of investment in the InsurTech industry in 2015 was $2.5 billion. That's dropped off this year, but in the first 6 months of the year, estimates are that there's still about $1 billion going into InsurTech. And what I'm showing here is simply the claims value contribution to an organisation, and just where some of the recent InsurTech entrants play within that space. The most effective area, I suppose, around InsurTech is in that top left-hand corner, which is around customer service and experience, but also around the customer evaluation and adjustment. And actually where we're seeing a lot, particularly in the home and motor space, is around that supply chain and supply chain management, because these new InsurTech platforms give the insurer the ability to connect directly to the suppliers and to also get more transparency around labour costs and material costs. What this means for the organisation, we were a little bit surprised by some of the results from the survey as to the expectation around what it meant in terms of headcount reduction. By 2025, some insurers were of the belief that claims function personnel could reduce by as much as 50%. But once again, these reductions are going to mostly be seen in the low-tech, high-frequency, low-skilled kind of tasks. I've spoken about digital channels, automated rules-based platforms, which is what RPA delivers, increased corporate risk through quality assurance programs, and improved and better managed supply chains. Effectively, we're talking about a much more connected organisation. And as for talent, high skilled, more experienced, more sophisticated learning environments. The learning environment's an interesting one because a lot of claims handlers come into the environment on lower cost, simple claims. But claims management in the future, what it looks like is those types of claims will be managed in a different way, either through robotic technology or some other simplified means. And so new talent coming into the claims operation won't get the opportunity to learn on these types of claims. So it'll be interesting what they actually do learn on, whether it's going to be the more sophisticated, longer tail, complicated claims. Obviously, analytic skills, dedicated specialists, and claims personnel will probably tend to work more in virtual team arrangements. So this is the bit where it comes to, so how does an organisation embrace external drivers and the InsurTech solutions that are becoming available? I spoke a little bit earlier on about transformation programs. A lot of talk recently is around purpose-led transformation, but for claims experience, it should continue to be, or is more effective if it continues to be, a customer-led program. And here what I've just mapped out is a simple framework around what a customer-led program might look like, embracing the external drivers and the fintech technology that's becoming available. And it basically starts with designing what the customer journey should look like, mapping that journey, and then assessing the organisational capabilities to support that customer journey. So, first of all, focusing, I'm just going to step through that framework and starting with the customer journey. So we've mapped this against the typical value chain of the customer journey, starting with notification, assessment, repair, payment and finalisation. And this is what a typical journey might look like for a personal claim. The claim is lodged, triage, assessed, repaired. There's some consultation around the repair. Payments are invoiced. Cash payments are made, if that be the case, and then it's finalised. That's a fairly typical personal lines claims journey. Next step is to look at the pain points within that journey. So what is it that... What is the customer experience and what is the customer pain point through this experience? And those pain points can be assessed based on whether it's a negative, neutral or positive experience. I've just mapped out some on this customer journey, some of the pain points from the insurer perspective as well as the customer perspective. And, you know, this is just for illustrative purposes. So... the first negative or first pain point for a customer here might be that it cannot lodge its claim through its preferred channel. Then the customer may not know what the status of its claim is after it's lodged. Another pain point might be that the customer is not actively informed about the progress of its claim. Another pain point might be that the customer is left to manage its suppliers. I'm now up to number five, and that is the pain point for the customer around the insurer not interacting. And pain point number six there is that upon finalisation of the claim, the relationship goes back to being transactional. So these are the pain points, customer pain points mapped along here, and these are the insurer pain points. Insurer pain points might be something like, for example, effective triage at the front end depends on talent available, resources available. Pain point number two might be backlogs arising in a high volume situation. So again, this is about identifying a customer-led transformational program through customer journeys and looking at ways to embrace the external drivers of claims management as well as the InsurTech that's available. And this is just an example of how InsurTech may address some of these pain points. Across a framework, a fairly simplified framework of technology, people, and process. So I won't go through this, but obviously at different points within that customer journey, there's opportunities to optimise the customer experience through digital technology. There's opportunities to optimise process, to simplify cycle times through robotic process automation. And obviously, there's opportunities, once again, to improve the customer experience through the training of a talent. And that actually is the conclusion of my presentation. It was intended to be a simplified journey around the external drivers that are affecting the claims management function and how it might address it. But clearly, this is an innovation journey. And in some respects, it's only just starting. If you look at the rise of InsurTech in the last 2 years, the adoption of robotic process technology being very much in its infancy stage, it's fair to say that this innovation journey is really just at the very beginning. Thank you very much.
Thank you. So now we open it up to anyone who has any questions. Yep, feel free to come to the microphone.
Daniel Keating. A question around the kind of take up of new technology for claims management versus, say, some of the other things we've heard about in this seminar, analysis and customer insights. So from my perspective, some of the stuff for claims management seems to be a lot more straightforward. And I was just wondering if you could offer your thoughts about whether that is the case and if so, why it might still be described as being in kind of an infancy stage?
Yes. So claims management being a little bit more straightforward, I'm not sure. You've got to look at... So I had a diagram up there which identified the claims management value chain, and what it didn't do is show the values... the value contribution more broadly, right? So it didn't break it down by operating model, front office to back office. But if you look at the value contribution from the claims management function disaggregated in that way, and you look at all the new entrants, the new InsurTech entrants, and what they offer around an improved customer experience and an improved operational response to that from the insurer perspective, I'm not so sure it's that straightforward. And how you integrate that and operationalise it is really where the challenge is. So, yes, on the one hand, some aspects might be straightforward, but how you operationalise that and not compromise quality assurance is really the challenge. I don't know if that answered it.
I guess from my own limited experience, I kind of think of, say, private health insurers where... you know, as far as I know, the ability to submit a claim electronically is, you know, at least available at several, and even available at some extremely small health insurers, whereas for motor vehicle insurers, and again, it's just based on my own personal experience, it seems to be taking a lot longer for the ability to submit your own data, you know, via a mobile phone app or via a website to eventuate.
Yeah, so I think we definitely agree on that point. The digital interface with the customer around claim notification is not particularly omni-channel at the moment. It typically, if we're just talking about home and motor, it typically is by way of call centre. And that customer journey that I showed there are lots of pain points around your typical customer journey where the claim is submitted via a call centre and not supported by technology platforms. So the customer doesn't know where its claim is. The customer has to manage the suppliers on its own, etc. Once those customer... See, addressing those customer pain points is really the game changer. It really is the game changer. And then operationalizing it to make it more efficient from an operational point of view is like the winning ticket.
Thank you.
Sure.
Follow up probably from previous question. We're talking about, Andriy Katkovsky, Alten General.
Sure.
We're talking about the pain points, but from I know cases where online claims been introduced, but the main driver behind that was cost reduction. So I'm thinking not addressing the, of course we're talking about addressing the point pain points, but the cost reduction was the driver for automated claims.
Yep.
Process,
yep.
Right. So I wonder whether we will introduce new pain points where the situation would be computer says no or whatever.
Yep. So, I refer to it as the winning ticket. The winning ticket is improved customer experience and reduced operational costs, right? The customer, if we look at the pain points, there are many to identify from the customer perspective as well as the insurer. And so you can't, you obviously want to do both. You don't want to address your customer experience and not at the same time address your operational costs. But I think the point about this is the ability to do both is there. It's a case of trying to operationalize it and embed it. So I think the opportunity is there to do both. I think your question was, would we be introducing other pain points?
Yes, it's one question. Are there any unique pain points that are associated with automation? And also, do you see, moving forward, do you see call center disappeared altogether? I mean, humans on the phone.
Yeah. It depends on brand proposition. So if there is a brand proposition that's intended to address premium customers, those premium customers may have the opportunity to choose their interaction. I think that's the point. It's about giving the customer the opportunity to choose the way it wants to interact, the way that it wants to self-serve if that's how the customer so desires. So no, I don't think that call centres will be a thing of the past. I do think, though, that the headcount and the spend on call centres will likely reduce, but not be eliminated.
Thank you.
Pleasure. Yep.
Yonji from QBE. I think in your presentation, you said a lot of benefits of the robotics in the future
yep.
management, and it makes perfect sense in terms of cost cutting and improve your performance. But my question is, it's more on the leakage control side, because
yep.
To moving everything to robotics, I think we lose the human sense check part of the claim leakage. So my question is, how do you actually balance the cost cutting and the potential increase in claim cost due to claim leakage?
Yeah. So it's a very important balance to get right. So robotics is very effective in high volume, highly repetitive processes. So first of all, it tends to favour short tail type claims, which have those highly repetitive processes in it. As for the longer tail claims, which still require human judgment, you would not be thinking about replacing those types of processes with robotic automation. Okay. By introducing robotic automation, you do introduce an element of improved consistency and improved quality, because you remove that human error. But you only do so within the parameters that you define for that robotic process. And so what you really need to do is build a quality assurance program that's appropriate, depending on what falls outside the parameters of the robotic process and what human elements still remain with it, you know, as part of the refined process. But to your point, some processes won't be capable of being addressed through robotic process automation, and complementing it with an appropriate quality assurance program is very important.
Thanks.
Cheers.
Any more questions? All right, I've got a question.
Sure.
So a few of those initiatives seem like they might require quite a bit of investment on behalf of the insurers, and the scale might need to be quite large. And I wondered, do you think that smaller insurance companies will be able to keep up with the large ones when these kinds of developments take place?
Yep. So there is a challenge here for smaller insurers what they need to do is to invest selectively. They also need to work out the timing by which that investment is made. Because if you look at the advancements that have been made in the last 2 years, it's been quite significant. And the investment decision needs to be made as to whether now is the time, or whether a more mature environment that customers are more comfortable with around the claims handling processes is in a longer or medium term time frame, and whether it's appropriate for them to make that investment within those time frames. But some of this technology is not expensive. You'd be surprised, really, at how cheap robotic process automation is. It's extremely cheap. The challenge is embedding it. The challenge is operationalizing it, not compromising on quality. Embedding supply chain management within the broader organization. So really, the fintech opportunity is, the cost of it is quite low. The challenge is about embedding it and operationalizing it.
To that point, I just wanted to see if you agree with Mathil on this. To the contrary, would it not be that the smaller insurers might have an advantage of being more nimble?
Yep.
In adopting these things?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good point. Inherently, smaller insurers have that advantage of being able to be more nimble. Take that point. Being more nimble in this space is very important.
Any other questions? I've got one more.
Yeah.
And it's not one of the ones that I warned you that I would ask.
Oh, cool.
You were part of the EY, asking many of the companies about their current state of
management.
Now, I was wondering, so one of the things that was mentioned was incorporating AI as part of the claims management process.
Yep.
And it was also something was mentioned about fraud detection.
Yep.
Because I imagine that has the potential to reduce costs by a lot.
Yep.
And I wondered how many of the companies that you spoke to we're really getting involved in trying to implement that kind of fraud detection, maybe using AI?
Fraud detection is obviously very important. Some of this technology, if implemented appropriately, is more effective around fraud detection. To the question about, you know, how many companies were interested in it, I think the landscape is just so big, if the company had I'm just trying to reflect now on some of those conversations, and don't forget they occurred globally, and I don't remember having a conversation with any particular insurer that identified that as a specific initiative, but if a company does have a particular fraud agenda, then some of this AI technology is very effective. again, within the parameters that is set, is very effective in addressing it.
Anyone else? I think that bell meant last question, and I feel like I should follow what they told me to do. So I think that might be the end.
Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot.